Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Skylar Jeremias, and I'm an assistant editor at CHE. Today, I will be joined by Carol McCall, Chief Health Analytics Officer with Closed Loop AI. We discuss the recent AI Health Outcomes Challenge conducted by CMS, and how Closed Loop AI was able to stand out from the crowd and win. We also talked about what physicians and healthcare administrators should look out for when deciding to implement artificial intelligence and machine learning in their health systems. So to start us off, can you briefly explain what CMS's AI Health Outcomes Challenge is and how it works?
About 2 years ago now, not quite to the day, but back at the end of March of 2019, CMS announced, and this was in partnership with the Laura and John Arnold Foundation. So they launched this national competition that they called the AI Health Outcomes Challenge. And they aimed it at trying to unleash innovation in health IT and to predict health outcomes and try to improve, you know, care quality. And at the time, Seema Verma, who was the administrator of CMS, she basically said, look, these tools, they have to do more than just enhance prediction of illness and disease. The goal is really to help providers focus more time with their patients. Another interesting thing is that it was one of the largest healthcare-focused AI challenges in history, which is really kind of cool, kind of the X Prize, right, for AI. And it attracted so much attention on the part of people that were interested in this thing. So it was conducted actually over 2 years instead of one. Part of that was the, hey, pandemic surprise, that right in the middle of it, everybody had to pump the brakes and everybody stopped. And so we were right on the eve of a submission. And so everything kind of powered down. And then, you know, several months later, they're like, okay, we're back. So it was over 2 years and it attracted just some amazing talent of companies and consulting firms and people that were, you know, incredible academic institutions. And so about 300 or more of the world's biggest AI and healthcare market leaders, you know, like IBM, Mayo Clinic, Geisinger, Merck, you know, Accenture, Deloitte. And so we were kind of this David among Goliaths. And so in the early stages, we were, okay, so do we think that we can do this? And as the stages marched along, and it finally got down to, it went from 300 to 25 and then 25 to 7, and then finally from 7 down to the winners. And we would look around and see who was still left and you go, oh my God, we're here. We could actually win this thing. So it was amazing. Yeah.
What was the AI platform that your company created and how can it be used to improve healthcare?
We have, and you can even see this on our website, we say that we're creating healthcare's data science platform. And what we mean by a platform is that this is an end-to-end machine learning platform that is dedicated really to the specific issues that healthcare data scientists face, and also designed to address the specific problems that are in the healthcare industry. And just to back it up, so when we talk about a platform, it's really doing four main things in this cycle of machine learning. And the first is you've got data wrangling, right? So wrangling is a highly technical term, but healthcare data is it's messy. And it's the thing that everybody loves to hate or hates to love or whatever it is, but it has some very important things happening in it with respect to code sets that all need to, you have to make sense of them and normalize them and make sure that they're all handled accurately. And there's more and more data coming all the time. So that's kind of step one. Step two is building what the data scientists like to call features. You and I might call them variables, you know, or measures or whatever. But you take the data and you build features for healthcare. And some of them they're really, really important. And they become the ingredients for the model that you're going to build. And it could be that your diagnosis history, like every time, people may not know this, but every time you go to the doctor, there is some trail, some crumb trail of data that's left. And it's kind of the who, what, when, where, why, how of what happened back there. Who did you see? What happened? What procedures did they do? What diagnoses did they make? What medications did they prescribe? Which ones did you pick up at the pharmacy? And all of that. And all of that becomes important information to create variables. Do you have a history of heart disease? Do you have diabetes? Is it or is it not under what clinicians would say is control? And so all of that then goes into stage three, which is building a model. And then stage four, which is not just building it, but you actually have to get that thing out and in use into some workflow somewhere. And so you have to deploy it, run it all the time, and then monitor it to see if it's shifting or changing, or is it starting to drift a little bit. And so that's the platform that we've created.
How can machine learning and deep learning be used to help health systems improve healthcare?
If we step back and look at what's happening in the whole push to value-based care, right? And that transformation is really shifting the system from being very reactive to trying to be very proactive, right? So the historic system was essentially fee-for-service, and now we talk about moving from volume to value and all these kind of catchphrases. But what the system was very good at was when you walked up to or were driven to, you know, the hospital or went to the doctor, they would do the best they possibly could to treat what was in front of them, right? And then they'd send you home. What we're asking the system to do now in a value-based system is to anticipate, is to be proactive, to not only drive value, but to do it in a way that I can anticipate unmet needs. And so that's essentially a predictive problem. If I'm gonna try to drive value, and if driving value means eliminating unplanned hospital admissions, like CMS asked us to predict, it means I actually have to know that that's about to happen. I can't prevent something I can't predict, right? And so therefore, prediction becomes really, really important. And then you say, well, what are all the different ways? What are all the different things that you could predict? And there are myriad different things that are happening out there, whether it's an adverse event, or maybe the data is trying to tell you that somebody has progressive CKD. And if the model predicts it and can let a provider know about it, they know what to do. Their clinical knowledge is such that they know how to respond to that situation. And so that's the goal, is to get this thing in the right hands so that people can take the right actions to avoid those types of events.
Why are some providers and health systems wary of AI and predictive analytics?
It's interesting that you ask that. I've had some really interesting encounters and answers from people about that. And one is that some people think that robots, for example, are going to replace all the decisions. And you see these pictures at conferences, and there's some robot who's pointing at the screen of some radiology image. That's really not the case. And it's certainly not the case with us. So when I look at closed loop, it's a great way to think of us as is that we're augmenting intelligence. So we're not replacing any decisions that anybody's made. What we're doing is surfacing insights that are incredibly helpful to people during that clinical encounter, say with a physician. And so we don't replace anything they do. The insights that we surface actually help focus the time that they have. So that's one concern. Another concern, and I think this is probably more legitimate, has to do when models are kind of this black box, right? So if I surface to you a prediction and I just say, hey, you know, Skylar's high risk, and then there you go. And if I don't say anything else, that's not useful, right? So first of all, high risk for what? You can't just say somebody's high risk. Maybe we say that you are at high risk of a complication related to advancing, you know, chronic kidney disease. That's more specific. So be specific and be transparent. So you have to pry open the black box and show exactly what's going on. What are you predicting for what kind of populations? What data did you use? What were the variables that actually made that prediction be high? And can you actually surface those variables and point to them so that people go, oh, I see exactly how you got the answer that you got. And not only does that help me trust what you gave me, it actually is helpful in the conversations that I then turn around and have with my patient.
What do you think are the implications of health systems that decide not to embrace technologies like AI, machine learning, and predictive analytics?
Oh, man. I think AI is becoming table stakes in healthcare, and certainly in value-based care. If you go back to our earlier conversations, value-based care, a big part of that is all these alternate payment models that are coming, and CMS has been very clear that they are, through CMMI and the Innovation Center, they are creating more and more and different types of ways to pay for care and to do it in a way that drives value. And in order for these health systems to be successful at taking on these alternate payment models, they're going to be paid for providing value. And that means paid for producing better outcomes. What they need in order to be successful is a way to identify places where they can anticipate those adverse events and avoid them, right? And keep them from happening. So you're not going to be successful under alternate payment models without population health management. And you can't have population health management unless it's powered by AI. So at the end of the day, you're just not going to be able to compete.
How can AI technologies separate themselves in an increasingly crowded marketplace?
I think that's a great question. For us, it's really been about focusing. So we have, healthcare's data science platform. We are dedicated to healthcare. And there's a reason for that. And it's because healthcare is hard. So the first thing in order for us to differentiate ourselves is that we have to recognize that it's not really about us. It's really about understanding and being able to solve the problems that our customers face. And in this case, it's payers, it's health systems, it's accountable care organizations. And so any AI company that wants a seat at the table has to demonstrate that they understand the problems and that they can add value to the solutions that these guys are trying to put out there. Because at the end of the day, predictive models never saved anybody, right? We predict the future so that you can change it. We predict the future and create explainable AI so that you can take actions based on what it is that you see. It's those actions that create value and that save lives and improve outcomes. And so the more that we understand about the problems that these health systems face, the better we are going to be at creating AI models that power up, right, these interventions that they have.
What should healthcare administrators keep in mind when making decisions about using AI platforms within their health systems? How do C-suite leaders know they are asking the right questions?
Well, I think healthcare leaders today, they know the issues that they face better than anyone. I think when they're making decisions about AI, it's really vital that they look beyond a particular use case or any single use case. This isn't about going out and getting a platform that helps me address readmissions. And if they think that if they have that model, they're going to be successful, that they're not. They need to turn around and look at their organization and see all the myriad places where AI can and will affect their business. And this will span clinical programs, operations, marketing efforts, sales, rate setting, provider contracting, digital health, patient engagement, you name it. There is not a single place that AI will not find its way in, whether it's in their organization or their competitors, and start impacting how people do business. So they should be looking for platforms. First of all, they should be looking for platforms. They should not be looking for somebody that can build them a model. Go back to those four kind of pillars or swim lanes. They need a platform that can handle that thing end to end all the time, 24/7, 365. The data, the features, the models, and the deployment and the monitoring of these things. And then if they pick the right one, what they'll find is that because it's a platform and it's enterprise-wide, they'll actually be able to promote collaboration across teams. There'll be this common data corpus and language that they can use. And they'll find that their teams are actually speeding up in terms of the insights that they're generating. What's happening is that AI is allowing companies to build a system of intelligence. It's the flow of knowledge. Everything begins and ends in data anymore. And making sense of it, because data has become too big to know, you actually have to have something that can automatically help you make sense of it. There's no way that you could do it manually anymore, right? And so that's what AI is. And the people that do that better and faster than other people will win, and they will build a competitive advantage off of this recursive set of insights that they create in the lather, rinse, repeat of data begets action, begets more data, begets more action. All of that, that cycle of insights, once you gain, you know, a lead, it's tough for other people to catch up. And so people need to be thinking now about how they create an AI-enabled healthcare organization, and looking at building portfolios of models across teams that, that learn how to then get woven together to create all of these insights from everything that they're doing.
Are there any regulatory gaps involving AI that concern you? How can health systems identify the most serious players?
Yeah. I think the whole regulatory framework for AI, I think it's just now starting to unfold. And I think the impact of AI in healthcare is just beginning to unfold. And so when you think about all the implications there, it's nearly impossible to say what all those different impacts are. And because of that, I think it's also kind of hard to say what all the specific regulations ultimately will need to be to kind of surveil some of those. But what is clear with the FDA, for example, is that they have a very long track record of establishing regulations for medicine and medical devices that safeguard patient safety and quality. And in fact, in January, the FDA released the agency's first artificial intelligence and machine learning action plan around regulations in this area. And so it's still a fairly high level framework, but what I like about it is that it's a very strong framework that emphasizes several important principles. And if, for example, like a framework for like a change control plan for how do ML algorithms learn over time? Can you tell me how your algorithm learns over time? Can you show me that you are monitoring any shifts in that? And that'll be good for them to lay down. Another one was, it included a section on methods related to algorithm bias and robustness, which is near and dear to our hearts because that was actually a huge part of the AI challenge in the last stage, and was to show how your platform addresses creating algorithms that are unbiased and fair.
What do you think the future holds for AI as a tool to aid healthcare systems?
And man, the future's so bright, you gotta wear shades. I just don't see that there's a limit. The healthcare system is really at a turning point. I really think that we have crossed that line of empire, as some people have called it, where there's really no turning back. And I think alternate payment models and value-based care, I see people as really working hard to make those a reality. And healthcare is becoming more digitized all the time. And there's simply no way to compete with all of these things coming together without AI. So there's just simply no way to make sense of the data, you know, in any way that's useful. And so I think it's going to unleash a brand new generation of innovation and improved outcomes, the likes of which maybe we've never seen before. Because I think this combination of alternate payment models and data going digital and AI, I really think it's a game changer. And so, you know, maybe AI can fix healthcare, and maybe it's just what the doctor ordered, huh?
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.